and shine on this. It's not Thursday.
No, it's Wednesday.
Anthony normally gives me the Thirsty Thursday intros. I mean, it can be honorary Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, we're like getting close to the Halloween party time, so we can just
college football starts.
Well,
in this region, finally, Big Ten football starting Saturday, and we got Big Ten guests lined up. We have Josh Henschke, the managing editor, Michigan Insider, today at 7:35. Chris Solari, the Detroit Free Press, 8:35. Talk Michigan, Michigan State. Now that line for Michigan-Minnesota is actually flipped. It opened up Minnesota as 2.5-point favorites. The line has flipped to Michigan being a 3.5-point favorite. One thing Vegas can always count on is Michigan fans just betting so much that they flip lines. Michigan State versus Rutgers Saturday at noon. Michigan State has now gone from... Oh, there's Anthony.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man? They pushed the line. You're right. You're 100% right.
I know. And actually, Michigan State's line has moved a little too. Opened up at 11.5. Now they're 14-point favorites.
14?
They went to 14?
Got all the way up to 14.
Come on, Rutgers.
Do they know this is Mel Tucker's first game as Michigan State's head coach?
I mean, do they also know it's Rutgers?
And they have a guy named Rocky at quarterback.
Do you remember how bad Michigan State was last year, Anthony?
Yeah.
They won 27-0 against Rutgers.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about the return of Greg Schiano, right? I mean, he was there for the last time Rutgers was even like, I mean, he finished with what, six winning seasons in his last seven while he was there at Rutgers or something crazy like that.
Against the Big East?
Well, I don't know. You do raise a good point there. You raise a very good point there. ACC it would have been. But, I don't know, two touchdowns?
It could happen.
But it just seems like...
Angels in the outfield?
It just seems like a whole heck of a lot of points, all things considered. Brand new head coach, no offseason. You know what I mean? Like, got there late. Mel Tucker's playing with house money this season anyway, but to have the line.
Unless you lose Saturday, then.
Come on. Come on.
If you can't lose to Rutgers game one.
And if they did?
Then it's awful. It's off the rails already.
Wow. After one game.
It's the blessing and the curse of having Rutgers game one. It's like, yes, like you have at least a little warm-up game. And then it's like, but if it doesn't go right.
But if it doesn't go right, then don't get on that bus and come back.
Right.
Or on that plane, I should say. Nobody's taking a bus to Rutgers. That's not happening. Fellas, first and foremost, thanks for covering for me there. I'm going to get this screen up here eventually, whenever that happens. But, we got a lot to get to, as Ryan was alluding to. The Big Ten is back, and it's good to have it back. It's going to finally feel like college football is I wouldn't say priority number one because the NFL is still on, but pretty close to it. Because it does kind of feel college football has felt empty. Am I wrong in saying that? It hasn't felt the same. And maybe that's because everybody's starting at a different time. I don't know. I can't quite put my thumb on it.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you spend your Saturday, though? Let's say if Michigan has the late game, you'd just be like, all right, I'll tune into some, like, Illinois Northwestern at 12 o'clock right now.
Yes.
For a few minutes.
Yes.
Like, Iowa, Maryland sounds, like, pretty nice. even if I just spend 20 minutes watching it before I go about my day.
Right, and I guess that maybe, you know, if Michigan has a 3:30 kick or something along those lines, like, yeah, I'm going to watch what's going on at noon, and I'm going to set my day up around it. I think the good news is about having an evening kick on game one is that I don't have to have my day ruined. I can at least go throughout the course of my day without knowing who's going to win.
All right, you can just have your night ruined.
I'll just have my night ruined, but by the time the game's over, I'll just go to sleep anyway. Right, I mean that's kind of the plan.
Right, and I like it when Michigan and Michigan State don't play at the same time.
staggered times are key. I'm a fan.
Like, even though like I'm not a Michigan fan, I still watch their games. Like, I have to know what's going on. Like, all my friends are Michigan fans, so it's like at least I can make other plans for that game.
Right. No, that makes sense. And for, you know, for me, not a state fan, same thing. Actually, I don't even have any friends. I don't believe that are Michigan State fans, but I'm still going to watch Michigan State. I still want to watch Ohio State play. I just haven't had the same interest in college football this year with the way that things have gone as far as the start of the season, because it's been such a staggered start. We you know, so many different conferences and, you know, starting at different times. And, you know, even this weekend we'll get the Big Ten, but then we have to wait till, you know, the first week of November, you know, to get the MAC. And I'm not saying that I'm over here, you know, that I'm going to be, you know, sweating over that, but, you know, the first game that I have to work is an 8 o'clock kickoff on ESPNU. So you have that aspect of it, that the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, they all started early in comparison to where, you know, the Big 10 is at, compared to where the Pac-12 is at, and then compared, you know, you had the Sun Belt's playing, but the Big 10 isn't. I just haven't had the same, draw to college football. No fans in the stands. It's been weird. It's been different. Like, I had no problem with the NHL, no problem with the NFL, no problem with Major League Baseball or anything like that. Watching the World Series last night, I mean, they have, you know, sparse fans scattered throughout the stadium. No issue with any of that. But college football, with the Big Ten coming out right away and saying we're not going to have any fans anywhere, it makes it feel weird. Yeah, I don't know. It's I feel very very different. And then of course we're going to have everybody, you know, finishing up at different times, and then, you know, right before the college football playoff selection committee makes their vote for who's going to get invited to their party, and the whole thing, man. Just college football feels weird this year. And maybe if we would have had a uniform start across the board, maybe that would have been better, but I don't know. With the lawlessness that is college football and athletic directors and conferences as a whole, nobody has any clear-cut direction. Nobody's following the same, like, real guidelines. Everybody's just doing stuff different. It just, I don't know. This has a different feel. And maybe that's me. I'm excited for Saturday. That's for sure. Yeah, I want Michigan to have a good game against Minnesota, but it just feels different. Have I tried to, you see what I'm saying though? Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying? Or was it one of those things where I'm just so off base that it wouldn't matter? You know what I mean? Or do you kind of feel the same way about college football this year? I guess that's where I'm at. Am I the only one that feels this way?
I've watched probably I actually watched a lot of the Georgia-Alabama game, so never mind. But I was going to – before that, I had not watched – I had probably watched like a total of a half an hour of college football.
Well, and that's way lower than what you normally would, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would be watching every game pretty much. And, you know, it's Saturday at noon. I'm over at my buddy's house watching college football for 8 hours.
I mean, it all matters just because of that, like, 12 o'clock slate, really. It's like, okay, if Michigan and Michigan State aren't playing, you don't have Ohio State to go to. It's like, am I going to watch West Virginia, Kansas? No.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Hey, we'll step aside. We'll come back. We'll talk about the World Series last night. Dodgers with a big victory. Tons of Big Ten football coming up. Your calls, your tweets, your texts, all that and more here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
We have batteries, brakes, mufflers, and more in your auto.
This month, True Fuel Premixed Oil is just $5.99. Perfect Stop Dock 4 Brake Fluid for just $3.49. And if it's time for new shocks and struts, then it's time for Monroe. Shop online at myautovaluestore.com and get 15% off orders of $75 or more with coupon code FALL15. That's Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. they'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit RUD.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on RUD.
When you're in manufacturing, your competition isn't the company next door. It's companies around the world. You're constantly searching for highly skilled, well-trained workers, and you struggle to keep ahead of ever-changing regulation and compliance measures. With all that's happening, do you have time to explore R&D tax credits, IC disk structures, or inventory accounting methods? That's where we come in. We're Bean Garter. And while your business is manufacturing, our business is helping you run your business better. We'll assist with tax credits, help with inventory costing and control, and so much more. And while we may not be able to help you on the factory floor, we can help you create a solid business foundation. From high tech to hands-on, of all the things you make, make your business better. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.
Cody Bellinger with a rocket over there to right field. Open up the scoring last night in the bottom of the fourth inning. Game number one of the World Series. Welcome here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network, broadcasting all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well. Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke in our Motor City studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Text the keyword sports radio to 21,000, sports radio to 21,000. Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well on Comcast Channel 900. If you miss anything, you want to check it out on demand, you can visit MichiganSportsNetwork.com or visit SoundCloud, iHeart, Apple, Spotify, Google Play. That was the sound of Bellinger's home run. 8-3 was the final score of last night's game, with the LA Dodgers taking game number one of the World Series. And the biggest question mark going into this was Matthew Stafford's childhood friend, Clayton Kershaw. What was he going to do? Could he finally get that proverbial playoff monkey off of his back? Could he come out and have a strong outing? And that's exactly what he did. He went six innings, gave up just two hits, one earned run, had a little bit of a jam there early in the first. He walked one, he struck out eight, gave up one home run, threw 78 pitches, and an all-around really good night for Clayton Kershaw, one that I think that he needed desperately, not only for our conversation purposes, he needed that for him. He needed that just to be able to get back on the horse that kicked him a little bit, because his numbers in the playoffs, you know, his earned run average is about, one and a half, two runs worse in the postseason than it is, throughout the course of the regular season. There's always been this kind of knock on him that he just hasn't been able to get it done. So a really good performance from Clayton last night to make it through six innings. Did he go the full eight? I don't know if I said eight. I think I might have said seven or eight of shutout ball yesterday. I don't know if he went that far. Six was fine, though. Only one earned run, that's great. Only one walk, that's fine. Surrendering just two hits, striking out eight. He looked good. They put up a graphic with a couple of his what his pitches look like. So when the fastball crosses the plate versus when the curveball or when the changeup does. And I thought that was pretty unique. I like a lot of the work that they have done as far as, you know, trying to present the game for the television audience. And I thought the crowd was really into it. I don't know how much of that is true crowd noise and how much of that is pumped in. It's now like deceptive to me to see, like, okay, how much are the fans in the stands actually cheering?
I'll find out. A buddy of mine has been going to the last couple, so I'll have to ask him.
The last couple games?
Yeah, he lives in Dallas, yep.
Really?
Yes.
So he's just been like, hey, there's nothing else going on. The World Series is coming here. I'll grab a couple tickets and go.
Yeah, I don't really know how it works. He's a his buddy and him, they own a bar, so that probably helps that they, you know, I'm sure that somebody probably walked in and said, hey, we got a couple extra tickets. So, yeah, they went to the last game of the LCS, and they were there last night.
Really?
Pretty nice. I don't know. I can't, you would think they would be expensive tickets, but I guess if, you know, neither team is from Texas, then people probably don't want to go.
Oh, I think that'd be a fascinating get for even if it's a quick segment.
You want me to call in?
I mean, yeah. I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions.
I'll text him today and see if he can call in and talk about it.
Yeah, because I just think that to get a fan's perspective of what it was like. I mean, I want to know everything: the cost of the ticket, how much crowd noise is there, what's the vibe in the venue,
are there
how many
any
hand
sand?
Yeah, well, that happens in the NFL games. Fly Eagles, fly. That happened over the weekend. But are there
bang,
any
bang bird gang? All right, let's go.
How many? That's a good one too. How many sanitization stations are there throughout the stadium? Do you feel safe? Do you feel comfortable? You know, things like that. I really do. I think that would be fascinating to talk about. Absolutely. With Clayton Kershaw and his 8 strikeouts last night in only surrendering 1 run, he did collect his 200th career postseason strikeout. That's a pretty big number right there. And that also, you know, to me, you've been playing on some really good teams to be able to have, you know, at the age of, I think, I want to say Clayton's, what, 32, 33 years old, to be able to have 200 career strikeouts. You've played in a lot of postseason baseball. And that's a huge, huge plus. I also want to touch on something that happened because Joe Buck was on the call last night. And he was doing the NFL on Sunday, and there was a hot mic, and it picked up he and Troy Aikman talking about the flyover that was taking place. And I don't understand why this is such a big deal. One, because it was a hot mic. So that's where, you know, you think about like Tom Brenneman. But he's talking about the flyover. The guy's probably seen 100 of them. So for whatever reason, I hopped on Facebook last night and I saw someone who used to work in sports for a very long time was very upset over Joe Buck's words about the flyover. He didn't say anything. I mean, he's like, there's your tax dollars at work, Troy Aikman. Like, he really didn't say anything that was like too crazy. And Troy Aikman's like, yeah, this isn't going to happen under Harrison Biden. Like, it really wasn't a... It was just normal conversation. He didn't say anything inappropriate. He didn't say anything rude. If you want to have a flyover for the Super Bowl, that's one thing. Outside of that, like, yeah, not really necessary.
Flyovers for big games in Army, Navy, like, those are awesome. A flyover for Jacksonville, Detroit, yeah.
I know you guys have like 3 naval bases in Jacksonville. There's a lot of military.
Just like that type of game, though.
Right.
For Eagles, Giants, Thursday night football flyover, it's like, all right, it's not that special. Like, this game isn't that special to deserve that.
And the question is, for what? So, you know, he said, there's your tax dollars at work. And, you know, the response was, well, that comes out of a predetermined budget. At the end of the day, you're still spending money to fly over a stadium. It doesn't really matter. You're not on any sort of training mission. You're not doing anything. You're just flying over the top of it. You could literally have somebody from Delta grab a 747 and fly that thing over it. You know what I mean? And then for a while, I thought we were done with flyovers. I didn't know that the flyovers were back, and, you know, they were, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say.
We just
say
want them to be special again. Stop making it so ordinary.
Yes. Yeah. Like outdoor games and hockey. We don't need 12 of them.
No, you don't need to send the entire Air Force over, you know, over the big house. It's just unnecessary.
Yeah, just get the dude that parachutes in.
Get that guy. And that's fine, too. But regardless, I didn't think anything that Joe Buck said was wrong. I don't know why he's taking as much heat for it as he is. Some people are very, very upset about this.
I thought he would be taking more heat. I thought this would be like, I mean... news, like going on the newsworthy, but it's kind of tame to me. I mean, unless you're seeing, I mean, did you like go, you know, in Joe Buck's mentions, or did you like look at the hashtag Joe Buck to see what they were saying?
I only saw it because I saw a post from the Tigers old PA announcer about it. And I was like, what is this? I didn't even see this story. Like, what? Hot mic? And I was like, oh, please don't get Tom Brenneman. So I clicked it and then I listened to it and I'm like, and? He didn't say anything that's real, like, oh, controversial or anything. He didn't say anything that was inappropriate. He didn't swear. He didn't make any remarks that were.
There wasn't a long fly ball to left field.
No, he wasn't like, yeah, you know, these flyovers are overrated. And there's a long fly ball left field. Nick Castellanos, Reds up 4-0. It was nothing like that. Nothing like that. It's not like the guy got caught with his Zoom camera on. That's a whole nother story. Inappropriate for morning radio. It's a family-friendly show, but you know
what
I'm saying.
Did that dude think he was on chat roulette or something?
I don't know exactly how that happens. Like, I'm not, like, Zoom clearly shows you when you're on and when you're off the camera. Can you imagine being the people in that meeting going, what in the world? But it's been, like, random stuff's been happening. Random stuff has been happening. Big night for Clayton Kershaw. That's where we're trying to go with that. We'll step aside. When we return, we'll get to a couple of texts that have come in. Plus, no Nico for UM. What does that mean for the Wolverines? All that and more here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can stay up to date on the latest from Lansing 24/7 at MHSAA.com. At MHSAA on Twitter and MHSAA on Facebook. The latest news, press releases, and stories connected to every high school in the state of Michigan available for you 24/7 from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Log on to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. And if you're looking for archive, boys and girls, high school sports, MHSAA.tv. That's MHSAA.tv. 24/7, everything you need to know about high school sports in Michigan. Log on to MHSAA.com.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Crowd noise right there. I need to know if that's artificial or not, because it sounds pretty loud for not having that many people. That's why I need to find out from your friend. How real is that? Mookie Betts of the Blast. They would go up 7-1. I did see a tweet last night about, like, Mookie Betts is the real MLB player we need to be celebrating in the fact that he can actually win in comparison to Mike Trout. I was like, I don't know why we are trying to compare Mookie Betts to Mike Trout. Maybe because they both play in LA, but they're not even in the same league. You know, one's NL, one's AL, and I don't know why two players can't necessarily be great, why one has to be better than the other.
One has a top 10 pitcher of all time, and the other doesn't.
One has a 50, well, I don't know actually how much the Angels payroll is off the top of my head, but one's got a payroll that's over what? Like 200 million? Like the Dodgers have been a payroll contender now. Well, it feels like the last, shoot, I don't even know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years? You would think, just based on the amount of money that they spent, like the the Dodgers are like the Yankees of the West. And the Angels, I mean, they're just kind of like forgotten about. You know, I don't know if I actually saw one Mike Trout play live this year, now that I'm thinking about it. I feel like I saw the Dodgers, but I don't know if I saw the Angels.
The Angels payroll this past year was $151 million.
Okay, so they're close in the arms race.
Yeah. Well, you're still playing Pujols, $10 million, Justin Upton.
Ugh.
Anthony Rendon. So.
They've got some
cap. They've spent some money in bad places.
If there was such a thing as a salary cap. But I think a series like this with Tampa Bay and the LA Dodgers really does put into perspective. I'm a big fan of the salary cap because I think what, you know, if you look to the NFL, what Dallas has done recently is really going to hurt them. And because of that, like the game that is played upstairs with general managers is just as important as the game out there on the field. Like you have to find a way to make all the pieces of the puzzle fit, right? So I like the salary cap for that aspect. I also like the fact that, hey, there's a, you know, there is an idea, and Patrick Mahomes kind of shattered this with the way that his deal is structured, but the overall value of Patrick Mahomes' contract being $500 million, I don't know how I feel about that. You know, it just seems like so much money for one person. So much money. And congratulations. And he's going to make even more money because he's already smarter than most young people who come out. I mean, he's already invested in the Kansas City Royals. Like, God bless him. He's doing it right. And his children's children's children will be set for life at this point. But that just, to me, seems like a whole hell of a lot of money, especially in a time where, you know, people are thinking about things differently because of how COVID-19 has impacted them personally and financially. So that can be a little bit of a turnoff. But baseball not having a salary cap, I wish that it did. And I know some people don't like that. Like, oh, you should be able to earn whatever the market says you can earn. And that's fine. Part of the reason that I kind of wish that they had a salary cap is, one, so that everybody kind of had the same floor. Because where you have a cap, you do have a floor. Right, the Tampa Bay Rays would be right there near the floor for sure, because they just don't really spend a lot of money. They're doing this without spending a whole lot. So as you have the LA Dodgers, who are, you know, writing fat checks out in every direction, Yankees of the West, you have the Tampa Bay Rays, who are kind of like, I don't know what, the Oakland A's of the East. They're just like, hey, here's our roster. We're going to take a bunch of guys who, you know, maybe haven't, maybe, you know, didn't work out in stop number one or stop number two, but we see some potential here. Coach them up, throw them out there. Not going to cost us a whole lot. Keep it moving. Like,
well, then why do you care if we're watching evidence right now that salary doesn't matter? Why do you care if there's a salary cap?
Because the Dodgers front office should try to be able to figure this out, like Tampa Bay has. That game there between general managers is intense. Like, because I would say the Dodgers won last night. In pretty clear fashion, right? It didn't ever feel like, once it was like what, 4-5-0, it was like, okay, all right, this one, unless we have a Chernobyl-esque meltdown from the bullpen, there's no way the Dodgers are gonna lose this game. And to me, watching these two teams, you have both examples of the one who paid and the one who's trying to figure it out without paying. But there is a talent gap here. Would you agree with that? And that talent gap is because, you know, there is clearly an edge for the LA Dodgers.
See, I don't know about that. I think that at one point, sure, like, I don't know, 5 years ago, Clayton Kershaw, when he was, you know, when he was pitching so well that they had to give him this monster deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, they're not facing that Clayton Kershaw anymore. They're not facing 4 years ago Max Muncy. You know, they're the guys they're facing are older. They're making that money because of what they did when they were younger. So it's not like, I mean, in 2 or 3 years, like, I mean, Blake Snell is going to get a huge contract. You know, Hunter Renfro is going to get a big contract. He's batting four for a World Series team. These guys are going to eventually get the contracts that all the guys on the Dodgers have already.
Right, and I guess my question there is, you can have those contracts, right? But do you have to all do it on the same team for the same squad? Like, is that even, is that possible?
Oh, no way. That's why you could. Probably on a bigger team, or you would have to bite, the owner would have to bite the bullet and say, okay, I don't care. I don't even know who's the owner of the Rays. I have no idea.
No idea.
Whoever that is could just bite the bullet and say, I don't care if the fans aren't going to be here. I want my team to be good. I'm going to pay these guys. I'll pay them out of my own pocket because they're billionaires. They can do that. They don't care if the guy doesn't care, or girl, who cares? If they don't care that they're spending their own money to pay the guys, then they could afford it. But they choose not to, and then no one shows up to the games anyway.
Yeah, and I think that the Tampa's strange. We've talked about how Tom Brady has basically just taken Tampa Bay across the sports world up to the level of, dominance, the Stanley Cup and the Buccaneers, and now look at the Rays. It's the Tom Brady effect, Michigan and all that good stuff. I know that really makes all the state fans happy. But I don't know. The salary cap to me is one of those things that I'm someone who likes it because, I look at it and it's like, it's almost like fantasy sports. When you have a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who, by the way, the Tampa Bay Rays became the ninth team Clayton Kershaw has earned a victory against in the postseason. He became just the fifth pitcher to beat nine different franchises in the playoffs in MLB history. The other guys, Roger Clemens, he's at nine. Tom Glavine, 10 franchises. Greg Maddux, 11. And Andy Pettitte, 11. Like, that is some world-class names right there. It's a world-class pitching. And for Clayton, a very good game for him, one that he needed to have because, you just... I don't know the guy, so how do I know if I like him or not? You know what I'm saying? But there is a part of me that feels for that guy that just can't get over the hump. Like, if the Dodgers win this series, which they're the favorite to do so, they got off to a great start in game number one. If they win this series and Clayton Kershaw finally gets his victory, I'm going to probably think back to what John Wagner told us yesterday about how this condensed season really did, and the postseason, gave us the two best teams in baseball, and that he believes that we really are getting a clear-cut defined, this is the best team in baseball this year. And I think the Dodgers, who have been there record-wise in the regular season but just haven't been able to get it done in the postseason, I think that this is monumental for them, and this is great for Clayton Kershaw. And I'd like to see guys have success. But I would like to have seen Barry Sanders, obviously, get a Super Bowl, or Carl Malone I used to think that way about Carl Malone, and then I heard, I did some reading on Carl Malone, the whole thing about, what he's got going on in his personal life, and it's like, I don't know about Carl Malone here right now. You guys can look that up on your own time, but it has to deal with a minor, and it's not a good situation. So I'll pass on Carl Malone. I'll go to LaDainian Tomlinson. I'll think about guys like Dan Marino. Guys that just, like, where you couldn't win the big one kind of sticks to
Mello?
You.
Did you ever like Mello like that? I loved Nuggets Mello.
Yeah, see, I just wasn't big on Carmelo Anthony just because I felt like he was only there for one thing, and that was just to play offense. And that you just are not gonna be a winner like that. Now, I thought that Mello in the playoffs for Portland,
was Dan
really
Marino,
fun.
But
that's good. That's Dan Marino's just there for offense? He couldn't have put on a chin strap like Zach Taylor and flipped on the other side of the football, helped out that linebacking unit a little bit.
I mean, you should play both ways, be a real player.
Yeah, but in the world of hoops, in the world of hockey, you got to be a two-way player. And just about all positions in baseball outside of pitcher, you got to be a two-way player. Like, you have to be good on the defensive side.
Better call David Ortiz.
The DH? right? I mean, just not a whole lot there defensively for you. But they're just guys that, you know, like Carmelo, that a playoff Carmelo was fun. And it's like, I don't know what it is about the guy who, and when Chauncey Billups had said this, it really kind of, you know, I was like, okay, I was on the right track here by thinking what I was thinking based on what I was seeing, but not really knowing, right? Because you could see something, you could see body language, you can see and read stories about, you know, maybe there's a quarrel in the locker room between the coaches and players, but you don't really know until you hear something. And Chauncey Billups, the god Chauncey Billups, a new assistant head coach for the LA Clippers, Chauncey Billups, had said that when he was in Denver, Carmelo would be more excited about scoring 30 in a loss, but if they got the win and he only had 15 in the locker room, he'd be miserable. And it's like, well, you got 15, but your team won. You don't care about that, but you're excited and you know you got a lot of juice flowing when you score 30 and you lose. Like, what? We before me. So that's just one of those things with Melo that it's like, yeah, he was never going to, you know, the Melo truthers out there that believe that he's as good as LeBron or that in that draft class, like he was something like D Wade got one. Why couldn't Melo?
Don't even go there.
D Wade got one and did damn near everything himself. Scored 40 a game in the finals. Why didn't Melo? How come Melo couldn't? How come Melo couldn't get the Nuggets there? D Wade did it in Miami. I mean, yeah, Shaq was there, but it
let me go. Let's go look at those that 06 Nuggets roster.
Go and go ahead and look up Dwayne Wade's final stats, his first championship in Miami. It is like you want to talk about one of the greatest single human efforts in NBA history. It's D Wade never gets talked about there, but that is one of the like every single game the dude had like 40. Incredible. The Nuggets rosters weren't bad. But I mean, hey, look, LeBron James got those Cleveland Cavaliers teams. He got them to a finals. You telling me Melo couldn't do that? Yeah, because that's not the kind of player, that's not the kind of leader Melo was. So anyways, back to baseball. Why Dan looks up the historical rosters of the Nuggets in the early 2000s.
Kenneth Faried, he was really going to help Melo.
Oh, you don't get a nickname like the Manimal for nothing. You don't just walk out there and get the nickname the Manimal. Kenneth Faried, you better put some respect on his name. Wish you could see me right now.
I can't see you. You just can't see us.
Can't see you if you can see me or not, but I'm the Manimal. I mean, come on, man. I mean, LeBron got Boobie Gibson there. He got Mo Williams in All-Star game. Boobie Gibson, for God's sakes.
He had Zdrunas Ilgauskas.
Oh, my goodness. That's where we're going, Big Z. We're going to have the Big Z conversation today. Back on the World Series real quick. I know that I teased that we were going to go into Nico Collins. We'll get into that. If Betts wins the World Series, he will have two things Trout won't have: a ring without a garbage can and a ring without garbage cans, which I'm sure his teammates now remind him of. The Dodgers got screwed because of that garbage can, Freddie. Oh. Okay.
Betts wasn't on that Astros team, though.
Yeah, I think he's referring to the Red Sox. And Alex Cora and the sign stealing there, which I'm not even sure how they did it there. Jim Harbaugh never won the big one in playing or in coaching. Yes, Uncle Jim on everybody's mind early this morning. That's great to see. I wonder what that's like for him, by the way. What do you think it's like that every day when you know that when you wake up, people just hate you? They just hate everything about you. They don't like what you wear. They don't like the way you talk. They don't like the way you coach. They don't like anything about you. Like, how?
I think it would.
That is ridiculous. Like, I don't mind Jim Harbaugh. I've only had one interaction with him, but I think he's great. I watch him sit down with his family in the corner at Chrysler, and he brings the kids to basketball games, or he sits courtside with his dad. He's a family guy. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you could just wake up and dislike somebody so much.
I don't know if it's dislike.
It's pretty constant.
It's frustration and it's basically frustration with his arrogance, I think is what it is. You know, like Urban Meyer, he's a little arrogant, but they used to win when he was coaching. Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, arrogant, they don't win. Matt Patricia, arrogant, Lions don't win. That's why they people dislike them.
D'Antonio, arrogant, tolerable when winning, when not, woof.
Do you find? I didn't find D'Antonio arrogant either.
He could be at times. Like, just like Jim Harbaugh, he can be at times. I don't think those two are as bad as Urban Meyer, Patricia, some of the other coaches. Because, like, I think Harbaugh came in a little arrogant, but I think, like, when they had that down season, I think that really, like, he toned back a lot.
Yeah, I think that was a good realization point for everybody that this is really, really hard. Like,
right.
This is not easy, and this is not something that you're just going to walk in and turn the tables on right away. And that was really the thought and the feeling because we had seen it. And I think that keeping up with the Joneses, seeing your arch rival in Ohio State, the way that they bounced from Luke Fickle directly to Urban Meyer, and the success and the trajectory that that team had after that hire, Michigan wanted that. Michigan fans wanted that. That is rare. That is rare. You got to realize that Ohio State, over the course of their program history, they are in a historic run right now over the last 15, 20 years. Historic. Like, they've never been this good. Woody Hayes could not carry Urban Meyer's water at this point. Like, that's just, hey, look up the numbers. I'm not saying, like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, disrespect. Look at the numbers. They are playing at a torrid clip right now. There's nothing you can do about it. Like, this is the best Ohio State has ever been in school history, by far. And it ain't even close. It's a really bad time. Really bad time to be a rival. Really bad time. Michigan State had the same. Michigan State went through a run of, like, what, 4 years roughly? With maybe, like, a down year always squeezed in there at some point. But 4 years where Michigan State football was as good as Michigan State football has been in a very long time.
Best bad run timing. In school history, right?
Bad timing to really be not up to snuff. You know what I'm saying? All right, we're going to step aside. It's the end of hour number one. We'll talk about Nico Collins. He's not coming back. I don't have an issue with it. Josh Henschke of 24/7 Sports is going to join us on Michigan. Chris Solari of the Free Press will join us on the Spartans. A lot to get to here on this Wednesday edition of X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for my good friends at DraftKings. Now, week 6 is happening this weekend, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to the week 6 excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. So download that DraftKings app. Remember that promo code HUGE. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week 6 action. Enter code HUGE to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code HUGE only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Now there's a minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And remember to download the DraftKings app and use promo code HUGE for your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. They're in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR and a short drive for most of you listening right now on the Huge Show across Michigan. Fabulous place to get away, and there still will be some good days of golf left. Book a tee time right now at TullymoreGolf.com, a stay-and-play package in the fall if you just want to get away. The restaurants are open, and if you want to look at some real estate, maybe looking ahead to 2021, a weekend home, or if you want to live on the grounds at Tullymore, go to TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com. And if you want to look ahead for a wedding, a reception, an outing, a corporate event, or anything in 2021, now is the time to book it while dates are there. Go to TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com. The Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
As a healthcare professional, you care for your patients. But who will care for your practice? Who will keep it healthy? And who do you refer to if it takes a turn for the worse? Just as you may consult with another healthcare specialist, so too should you seek out tax and accounting specialists to consult with regarding specific issues your practice may face. That's where we come in. We're Bean Gardner. And while your business is keeping people physically healthy, our business is helping you keep your practice financially healthy. We'll provide you with the innovative business solutions your practice needs. without compromising your patient focus. Whether you're a doctor or dentist, a sole practitioner, or a multi-physician practice, before you see patients, come see us first. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.